The beast I saw resembled a leopard.
Wound.
But the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. Maybe included in that a combination of churches that don't teach the actual gospel. We experienced this when we visited a church in Cincinnati. The pastor taught a false gospel, message, misinterpretation of the scriptures. He made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, the purpose of this video, what you've all been waiting for. Verse 16, he required everyone, say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone, small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. Hello everyone. I'm Tamara Chaos. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please subscribe to my channel. Okay, let's get started.
Visit eveninglightdesigns.com.
There's a pastor in St. Joseph, Missouri that I frequently listen to his sermons on a podcast. And he believes that the whole book of Revelation is symbolic. And I'm not saying that he's wrong. I'm not exactly sure if I agree, but I'm not saying that he's wrong. But Revelation 13 could be symbolic. Let's explore Revelation 13 without further ado. Revelation 13, 1 through 3. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head, a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. I'm not saying this because it's an interpretation, but I wonder if the beast represents the world. And to go any even further, maybe included in that a combination of churches that don't teach the actual gospel. We experienced this when we visited a church in Cincinnati. The pastor taught a false gospel, message, misinterpretation of the scriptures. And what was really interesting is it was New Year's Eve weekend and we had a hard time finding a church that was open. It must be a safety thing or something. But it was our third choice because all the two other churches that we found were closed on New Year's Eve. Very interesting. But anyway, enough about that. People can be tricked easily if they don't know the facts. It takes a lot of bravery to defy the world and worship the Lord. Let's return to the last part of 3. The whole world was filled with wonder. They were filled with wonder, but not because of God and his wonders. They followed the beast. Who do you think the beast is? Verse 4 says that they worshiped the dragon. Did you hear that? They worshiped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshiped the beast. Doesn't this sound familiar? Daniel 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then what happened? Daniel 3:4 talks about how when the music played, everyone had to bow down to the statue. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do that. Why? Because they worshipped the true God, and that was it. This caused a great panic, and the king had them thrown into the furnace as punishment. The king was so angry that he commanded his officers to heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. What do you think happened? Do you think they burned? Do you think they survived? The king, as he was watching, became very confused. He was sitting there in his comfy chair watching the show when he suddenly leaped up in awe. What? He says to his officers. Tell me, didn't we throw 3 men into the furnace? Yes, his officers replied. But I see 4. They are not even harmed at all. They are walking all around the furnace. He commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought back out from the fiery furnace. They were not harmed, singed, and they didn't even smell of smoke. Hallelujah. Wow, what a story. Let's get back to Revelation. Well, then you know what happened? Well, first of all, they said, who is this as great as the beast? Well, they exclaimed, actually. So a lot more exciting than they said. Who is able to fight against them? Maybe they thought, because he looks so powerful, they didn't have a choice. But there is a choice. Let's keep going. And then you know what? The beast started speaking. He was speaking great blasphemies against God. He was given great authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. A little less than 4 years, he got to do whatever he wanted. He spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Verse 7, it was given power to wage against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Listen, he was given authority to rule every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people, this is verse 8, everyone say, all the people.
All the people.
All the people. All the people who belong to this world worshiped the beast. They are the ones whose names are not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Let's just dwell on this part here. It belongs to the Lamb that was slaughtered before the world began. Interesting. You see how God knows everything from beginning to end? He was there. Let's look at King James. In this verse, I almost think the NLT changes the meaning of the verse. Let's check out King James. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, this version takes me to the time Jesus sacrificed himself so that we could have eternal life. Verse 9, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 10, anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison, and anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Now here comes another beast. This is a beastly tale for sure. This one had 2 horns like those of a lamb and spoke with the voice of a dragon. I wonder what a dragon sounds like. Verse 13 says that he did astounding miracles. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. He deceived a lot of people by all the miracles he could do. He ordered the people to make a statue of the fatally wounded, then healed beast. And everyone was commanded to worship the statue or they will die. Now, the purpose of this video, what you've all been waiting for. Verse 16, he required everyone, say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone, small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. In my video that I did when I was talking about tattoos in the Bible, I made a reference to this type of thing. Let's take a listen. It used to be in ancient Greece that tattoos were a form of punishment. Yeah, you see, tattoos would be tattooed on a criminal's faces so that way, should they escape, they could still be caught because people would know that they were criminals. And also, after they were released, they would still be punished. But then, this practice was banned in 330 AD by Emperor Constantine I because he stated that a man's face was made in God's image and that it was a sacrilege to deface it. He suggested that instead it should be on the hands or the calves. However, in 787 AD, the Second Council of Nicaea banned all tattoos as a pagan practice. In 426 BC, slaves were tattooed by ancient Greeks, according to historian Herodotus. So you see, it's very interesting. Let's continue. Verse 17, and no one can sell or trade without that mark, which is either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Verse 18, wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man. His number is 666. I think it's really important to study the scriptures and become aware of what they say, so that if you hear someone say something that you might think is wrong or just a different interpretation, you can check it out. Don't just blindly follow someone because they have accreditations or because they are a pastor. And I include myself in this. Just because I'm ordained doesn't mean that I'm right. I am also always watching and studying what people say. Please subscribe to my channel. I would love to be your partner, friend, and support your channel as well. The purpose of this video was not just to inform you of Bible facts, but to share information. Life with Christ is just amazing, isn't it? Imagine a life where you trust God for everything. No worries, no shame. This takes time to achieve. Old habits must die. I heard somewhere that whatever you feed will starve. No. Whatever you feed will grow, and whatever you starve will die. So if you feed into your worries all the time, they will grow. And what is suffering? Your faith in God. I thank you so much for listening, and I ask you to subscribe to my channel, and I will see you in my next video. Bye-bye.
Emmanuel tells the story of Jesus' life by using all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as well as the first chapter of the book of Acts and part of 1 Corinthians. This book follows Jesus' earthly life from the very beginning of the Gospel record through his many trials and his confrontations with the religious leaders of the day. This book is not intended to take the place of the Bible, but it may help you understand the story of Jesus' life better by giving you a more chronological account of it.